I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, January 10th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A broadcast of a different sort. A little bit kind of everything, a little bit mainstream news, not too much, a little bit things that we're not supposed to talk about, politics, religion, money, that kind of stuff, all RBN, but I would say all devoted to Christ and not the false Christ, but the one of the Bible, the one who said many will come in my name. Anyway, how about we start with Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, which gets to a contrast that really is sort of at the heart of broadcasts lately that center around the subject of Western esotericism as we went through the holiday season from, shall we say, Halloween through the 12 days of Christmas and Epiphany and all of that. Again, Western esotericism and its long history that most people are completely unaware of, though it's happening right out in plain sight, was really kind of the focus of this broadcast. So today's Oswald Chambers entry in My Utmost for His Highest is titled The Opened Sight. The Opened Sight, January 10. Quoting Acts 26:18, to open their eyes that they may receive. And Chambers writes, this verse is the grandest condensation of the propaganda of a disciple of Jesus Christ in the whole of the New Testament. The first sovereign work of grace is summed up in the words, quote, that they may receive remission of sins, end quote. When a man fails in personal Christian experience, it is nearly always because he has never received anything. The only sign that a man is saved is that he has received something from Jesus Christ. That's an interesting thought all of itself. Our part as workers for God is to open men's eyes that they may turn themselves from darkness to light. But that is not salvation. That is conversion, the effort of a roused human being. And this is an interesting point because Well, we may get to this. You know, you think of the illumined, you know, sort of Gnostic counterfeit of this, and obviously, you know, terms like the Illuminati come to mind, and you know, Terry Melanson's The Perfectibilists. These folks that think that, you know, man can be perfected. And you fast forward to today, and you have, again, you have the folks like Ray Kurzweil. And along the way, I mentioned Mary Shelley and Frankenstein yesterday. It was 1818, so 2018 was the 200-year anniversary, and it wasn't well, we'll get to more of that in a minute. So there's obviously a counterfeiting of this concept, a Gnostic counterfeit of what Chambers is describing. Really kind of a Gnostic and Kabbalistic counterfeit that is two sides of the same coin. So continuing, but that is not salvation, that is conversion, the effort of a roused human being. Chambers writes, "I do not think it is too sweeping to say that the majority of nominal Christians are of this order." That's a bold statement, but Jesus himself said, "In that day many will come and say, Lord, Lord, did we not?" So continuing, Chambers writes, "I do not think it is too sweeping to say that the majority of nominal Christians are of this order. Their eyes are opened, but they have received nothing." This nothing from Jesus Christ. And again, you think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the counterfeit. "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Conversion is not regeneration, Chambers writes. This is one of the neglected factors in our preaching today. When a man is born again, he knows that it is because he has received something as a gift from Almighty God. The Bible says it's a free gift, which sounds redundant, but it just, I think, underscores the notion that there's nothing we can do to earn it or repay it, and so on. When a man is born again, he knows that he is because he has received something as a gift from Almighty God and not because of his own decision. And, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing right there. Not because of his own decision. People register their vows and sign their pledges and determine to go through, but none of this is salvation. Salvation means that we are brought to the place where we are able to receive something from God on the authority of Jesus Christ, vis-a-vis remission of sins. But here comes the punchline. Then there follows the second mighty work of grace, quote, "and inheritance among them which are sanctified," end quote. In sanctification, the regenerated soul deliberately gives up his right to himself to Jesus Christ, and identifies himself entirely with God's interest in other men. That is astounding. And there are those who try to, you know, there's a manufactured, again, there's a counterfeit version of this, shall we say. And I think to the casual observer, they may seem the same. They may appear the same. One, in fact, you know, the Pharisees may seem more devout and noble than the one who has received from Jesus Christ. And in sanctification, the regenerated soul deliberately gives up his right to himself. You know, this one doesn't have the what I would call feigned piety that the Pharisee contingent have. And so they probably seem more devoted and more like they've deliberately given up their right to themselves to Jesus Christ and identified entirely with him and God's interest in other men than the one who is not the Pharisee. But upon closer inspection, it turns out that the Pharisaic types are more self-motivated than anything. And those motivations are not at first immediately self-evident. So that's why it may take a moment, and upon closer inspection, it may become clear. Anyway, this idea in sanctification, the regenerated soul deliberately gives up his right to himself, to Jesus Christ, and identifies himself entirely with God's interest in other men. This gets right to the heart of this concept of Western esotericism. You know, why is this a Sunday morning thing? It's not a Sunday thing. It's a history lesson. Back to the history lesson. And the history lesson is this. In the last 2,500 years, there's been this effort to try to pretend that man can somehow make himself into something. Again, you know, you think of books like Terry Melanson's Perfectibilists, the 18th century Bavarian Order of the Illuminati, and that, you know, sort of comprises, you know, these are folks who believe that they really can become as gods, and that, you know, the secret knowledge and the hidden wisdom of all the ages and a little bit of asceticism and self-discipline and so forth will allow them to do that, to ascend above the heights of heaven and become like the Most High, in the words of, you know, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, that kind of thing. And yet, I mean, what has happened? So there is this contrast, you know, this idea that man will make of himself, but it's not generally, if you start to become aware of this, the sales pitch is that, oh no, we're all going to be as gods. It's going to be great. But really, as even today, folks like Sean Parker have admitted, no, it's not really everybody. It's just the elect or the select few who are to become, you know, perfected. And so it's self-determination, auto-determination, whatever you want to call it, that's in view. But is this really a thing? And this idea is at loggerheads with the Bible and Jesus Christ himself, obviously, who said things like, he who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake, Jesus said, will find it. And in places like Matthew 10, he said, I do not think that I came to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And then what does he say after that? So, you know, this is in stark contrast to the message of the Bible. And so, speaking of Mary Shelley and this concept of Frankenstein, the homunculus and Gollum and so forth, it's interesting that the Wikipedia entry, where is that, for Frankenstein, yeah, since the publication of the novel, this is from the Wikipedia entry, since the publication of the novel, the name Frankenstein has often been used erroneously to refer to the monster rather than to his creator or father, creator father. So that's an interesting twist all in itself, something to think about. So you have the romantics here who were all Gnostic, alchemical, and morally depraved, generally speaking. You have that in this novel. You have echoes of Milton's Paradise Lost, and the excerpt specifically, "Did I request thee, maker, from my clay to mold me, man? Did I solicit thee from darkness to promote me?" Which again is this, you know, the original title of this novel is Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus. Why the Modern Prometheus? And this quote from Milton's Paradise Lost is obviously an allusion to Romans 9, where Paul writes, or the Holy Spirit through Paul, so we have God's sovereignty demonstrated, and so coming forward, you know, there's the story of Isaac and Esau and Jacob, and so verse 12, it was said to her, well, back it up, verse 9, from this The word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebecca also when she had conceived twins. By the way, were Shem, Ham, and Japheth triplets? I'm not sure. So Rebecca also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac, for though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. It was said to her, the older will serve the younger, which is an inversion of the, you know, tradition. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. And this is echoed throughout the Bible. You know, you think of the blind man, and the disciples say, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he may be born blind? What did Jesus say? So, continuing to the punchline, verse 18, so then he has mercy, capital H, on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. So you will say then, you'll say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Well, I guess you will in the case of Milton's Paradise Lost, echoed in Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus. So to finish Romans 9, or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common or dishonorable use, depending on your translation? Dishonorable use? Yeah. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Speaking of this genre of stuff, it's interesting. You know, I think questions should immediately arise just from the Wikipedia entry, Frankenstein. Shelley traveled through Europe in 1815, moving along the Rhine in Germany and stopping in Gernsheim, 17 kilometers, 11 miles away from Frankenstein Castle, where 2 centuries before, an alchemist had engaged in experiments. How do we know that? Why do we know that? She then journeyed to the region of Geneva, Switzerland, where much of the story takes place. Galvanism, which is an interesting concept, sort of returning to yesterday's horrific discussion of the, well, what I'm calling the evil roots of the modern medical establishment, nay, cartel. Galvanism is this interesting idea, interesting, you know, in someone's mind anyway, someone's twisted mind, about basically the electrical circuitry of the physiology of the body. So from the Wikipedia entry, Galvanism and occult ideas were topics of conversation for her companions, particularly for her lover and future husband, Percy Bysshe Shelley. And that's an interesting story. You know, how old was she? I think she was 16 when they married, which is, you know, maybe not strange for the time, but, you know, again, the romantics, there's a very dark aspect to that story. And you know, again, the romantic period, they were morally slack, shall we say. So galvanism and occult ideas, that if you are paying attention, even though it isn't called exactly that, not in all cases, perhaps in not in most cases, we could easily make that same parallel in the research that was discussed yesterday, you know, the few minutes of the clip that we played and the horrific things that we heard, you know, the history of Ilya Ivanov and Pavlov and Sergei Brukhonenko and Vladimir Demikov and Paul Burt and Shiro Ishii and Sigmund Rascher, Mengele, you know, and we have you know, it's not all just Soviet, Japanese, Nazi, Axis of Evil folks, Hail Hydra. I mean, again, if you read Edwin Black, pretty much anything that he's wrote, but, you know, War Against the Weak, for example, those kinds of things really had their roots here in America in terms of kind of an industry. And they were, a lot of that was exported to these places and then re-imported after the war in, you know, under the banner of things like Operation Paperclip, for example. The importation of 2,500 plus Nazi scientists. Why? So, you know, this galvanism and occult, that's, you know, that's Nazi science. You fast forward 100 and, you know, some odd years, roughly a century and a half. Same thing is happening. Somebody ought to, you know, and fast forward today, we call it what? Biotechnology and this transhumanist agenda and posthumanist agenda. Somebody should write something titled Physiognomy in the Scrying Mirror, maybe. Maybe somebody already has. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, January 10th, 2023. Announcements real quick. So we are in the final, we're down to hours basically of the book drive that began November 7, week 9 of the book drive. Now through January 12th, donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. And the note here is, once again, the final drawing and announcement will take place this Thursday, January 12th. And congratulations to past winners of the first 8 weeks, Robert and Tyler, David, Angry, Gary, Sharon, Renee, KS, and other Robert. Congratulations and thank you to everyone for your generous support of the network. This week's book, week 9, the final week, Callous Disregard, Autism and Vaccines, The Truth Behind a Tragedy, published in 2010. written by Andrew Wakefield, foreword by Jenny McCarthy. And again, the subject of vaccines, what do you say? It should be hotly contested. It pertains directly to this Frankenstein idea. And there are many esoteric ripples there without going down too many rabbit trails. You know, you come forward to today and we have this idea, you know, first, you know, there's this idea that, you know, speaking of the modern Prometheus, there's this, isn't it interesting that people, you know, as the Wikipedia entry points out, since the publication of the novel, the name Frankenstein has often been used erroneously to refer to the monster rather than his creator. I feel like there's a Gene Wilder clip that we should be playing here. Anyway, that's interesting all in itself. But this idea that man will make of himself and perhaps his fellow man whatever he wants. And the popular literature and the popular culture have fed that idea into the minds of men. But also, you know, isn't it interesting that we are imbued with this idea today that not only, you know, are we supposed to be, you know, whatever we think we should be, and that, you know, there's a certain argument that we are somewhat uniquely predisposed to that tendency as Americans with our colorful history. And you know, imbued with this idea of a sort of Nietzschean, you know, Übermensch meets you know, the perfectibilist concept of renewal, which, you know, hints at what we, the clips and some of the things that I mentioned yesterday, this continual process of, or endless esoteric cycle of liminality meets reification, being remade, being reconstituted. And in the process, So to what end? For what purpose? And that's the thing. You know, it's interesting as you look around, you look at these shows. My one thought, you know, I mentioned some of the Taylor Sheridan stuff yesterday. My one thought in all of these shows is you see television come through like the, you know, the 50s, the 60s to when Newt Menow made his famous remark, "It is a vast wasteland." Through the 70s, 80s, 90s, Stephen Jay Cannell and Aaron Spelling, and, you know, on and on forward to today, to now what do we have? And this trend toward, you know, and you can even see it in the development of series and characters and things. The concept, again, of this, you know, liminality meets reification kind of thing. He's faced with a thing, and what does he have to do? It's also in the, you know, the archetype of the hero's journey and all that kind of stuff. But to what end? And I think I more than hinted at it yesterday when I said that in Genesis chapter 6, which is where, I mean, this is, I guess, you know, by today's standards, you know, Simpson and Bruckheimer standards, maybe this is anticlimactic, but I don't think so. Genesis 6, you know, verse 4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And well, so there's verse 4, and then verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Could we agree that most of the television shows are, I would say, morally reprobate and evil. Generally speaking, if we could just, you know, turn the sound down and, you know, maybe watch the captions or whatever, what's happening is people are being conscripted to evil, slowly but surely. It's basically pawnerology with a very slick, polished veneer. So, that's interesting. Verse 6, the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. But then you skip forward. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 13, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. That's a sentiment that's echoed twice in three verses. Because of them, behold, I am about to destroy them with the whole, with the earth. So, filled with violence. You know, the concept that Huntington outlined, the clash of civilizations, we are being led to this in a, you know, these days it's in a very Nietzschean sort of fashion, will to power kind of passion, or fashion, might makes right. And, so we've gone from the, hey, we should do the right thing, but whatever we think is the right thing, that's where we came from back in when you could maybe try to make the argument that television was not entirely unwholesome. Fast forward to now, see, that's the rub when we're arguing what my idea of the best thing is. That's when we run into trouble. But, you know, if we lean on what God's idea of the right thing is, well, that's a thing of a whole different nature. And so, you know, but how does that happen? And it's the Holy Spirit and the Pentecostal moment of Acts chapter 2 in particular, the example, I guess I would say. And, but who has the patience for that? That's where you get outside information from beyond time and space, from the Holy Spirit. And that's a thing, again, of an entirely different nature. And we are encouraged to believe increasingly that we don't have time for that, that it is that is neutered and there's no power in that, when quite the opposite, actually. And, you know, all kinds of other things along the same lines. So it's interesting just to watch all of this unfold, I think, and this clash of civilization that's been brewing for a long time that seems to echo what you read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 and 13 in particular. And also, you know, there's this character that you read about in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 who seems to, you know, violence is in his nature. Internally filled with violence, the violence of his trade, the abundance of his trade, the violence of his trade, the unrighteousness of his trade, and these kinds of things. And now we're at a point where I think we're all being encouraged to emulate that sort of thing, which is unfortunate. We should come to our senses. We can. And it's interesting, if you watch these shows, that one, I think, could make the argument that everyone makes their own choices. And, you know, these choices, it's, you know, it's, to me, it's sort of an echo of the early chapters of the book of Genesis, where, again, you know, maybe the devil tries to operate with plausible deniability, saying, well, I didn't make him do anything, I just mentioned an idea casually in passing or something like that. I didn't force anybody to do anything. So we have decision-making power. We have internality and agency, to some extent anyway, and the ability to choose, which is a dangerous thing. Maybe we should ask for help from the one who made us, the one who gave us the instruction manual. Returning to yesterday momentarily, we tried to play the clip. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there's some monkeying around. I can't imagine how that would happen. But, you know, there is the clip that we've played in the past. And for some reason, the timestamp seemed to have moved, which is why I said what I said yesterday. That's not right. That wasn't what we were looking for. The clip that we were looking for when we played the Bill Gates clip, the exact quote that we were looking for is this. Can we play that, please?
For such an outcome?
I don't think it's realistic to say that people are utterly going to change their lifestyle because of concerns about climate. You can have like a cultural revolution where you try and throw everything up. You know, you can create a North Korean type situation where the state's in control. Other than immense central authority to have people just obey, I think the collective action problem is just completely not solvable. And when people say the earth is finite, I don't actually know what they mean. We can grow enough food. The water's not disappearing. The minerals are not disappearing. Oh. It's not a Malthusian situation, in fact.
Okay. Yeah. So you heard him say that was the excerpt that we were looking for. So other than immense central authority to have people just obey, I think the collective action problem is just completely not solvable. So the solution, you know, the salvation of mankind hangs on immense central authority to have people just obey. And who do you suppose he thinks that people in general should just obey? Are we naive enough to think that it's not him, that he doesn't have a God complex and that he doesn't think that we all should just obey him, that he wants to be the supreme poobah? I mean, that's what he did through the COVID stuff. We need to change people's behavior. Over and over he kept saying that. But there's more, actually, and this pertains to some of the headlines. We probably have time. Can we play a little bit more from where we left off there? Can you continue from there, please?
Other than the continent of Africa, we're actually in population decline. We reached so-called peak baby in the last decade. The only reason we have population growth is not that we have more babies, it's just that lifespans are longer. So there's not like some equation, like some, you know, plan B, it can't possibly work type thing. That's not a problem.
So there are four ways to cut emissions through government policy. One, you tax emissions, you can put a price on carbon or have a cap and trade system. To mandate emissions reduction. So you write some regulations that will force companies to emit less. Three, reduce fossil fuel production, where you just shut down oil and gas facilities. Four, subsidize what you want, throwing money at the problem, like tax credits and other subsidies that make green things cheaper relative to dirty things. If we look at the new US climate bill, it's all carrots, no sticks, right? It seems like in the US, it's very hard to implement a stick and get the government to actually regulate reduction in emissions. Do you think that threatens our ability to get to zero by 2050?
No, absolutely. Asking people in this generation to take their expectation of improving standards of living and actually, because of the transitional costs, reduce their standard of living, there just isn't that broad consensus. For example, when France put on a diesel tax, then you got the yellow vest phenomenon, the diesel tax, which was quite modest in the scheme of things in terms of incentives to change. was absolutely repealed. Hey, we live in a political world, and the voters in France reacted to that increase. The U.S. hasn't been able to raise the gas tax even to fund highway construction, not to mention climate-related things. So,
all right,
if you're taking more...
We're headed into a break, so we can put a pin in it there. This is sophistry par excellence. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
We'll be right back.
takes a lot less time.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour. So that clip, I guess two clips, all of that was drawn from the September 28 podcast. And is it me, or does it sound like, you know, it was entirely, you know, it wasn't really an interview with, you know, it doesn't sound like a conversation with Bloomberg Green's Akshat Rati. It sounds like they were in studio and they, you know, or whatever. Rati was in studio. Bill Gates was in his, you know, arch supervillain lair recording sound bites. Anyway, a big climate bill for a new era of climate tech with Bill Gates. And we've heard how, you know, COVID and climate and all of this other, you know, the World Economic Forum wish list go together. It doesn't make sense to us, but that's part of the process of liminality and reification, where you're processed, you know, you're disoriented, shock and awe. And now it's a time, as Rahm Emanuel said, to do things you think you could not do before. But hurry, places. We got to take advantage. We got to seize the moment in Fabian sort of fashion. Strike hard, definitively, and never concede anything. Never give any ground. Inch forward. I guess we'll wait. I was going to play the clip, the thing that I mentioned from the Republic Broadcasting feed yesterday, but we will do that in the second hour. So stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.